Turning your Bibles, John chapter number 13. John chapter number 13. John chapter number 13. Verse number 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, and Jesus knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and lay aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. And after he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean therewith, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore, said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments, and sat down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, what? Happy are ye if ye what? Do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come that it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whosoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Now, let's look just a few moments, and I want to share with you a couple thoughts. A lot of misunderstanding about foot washing. When I was growing up and a little boy, especially in Southern Baptist church where I went, where we went at one time, many of them over there practiced foot washing in the church, and some of you probably have done it too. And some people says, well, that's part of the Lord's Supper. The Lord was not giving us an ordinance here. He was giving us an example. I want you to take note with a couple things. When the Lord got ready to do the Lord's Supper, after they ate supper, the Passover supper, before he did it with the Lord with his disciples, Judas got up and left. When he washed feet, he washed Judas's feet too. He wasn't including, he wasn't doing something as an ordinance to the church. When Paul, over there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, when he gets ready to tell us what he has received of the Lord, how to do the Lord's Supper, foot washing's not mentioned, because that's not what it part of the Lord's Supper. I want us to look and see what the Lord's Supper is. And I know some people said, well, it was always our tradition. My grandfather got really mad at my dad when my dad, the first church he pastored, Sinking Creek, my grandfather and several of the other deacons was just dead set on washing feet. And they got so mad at Dad whenever he told them and he taught them this lesson, and I'm not teaching on this tonight, but I want to throw it out there. One other place foot washing is mentioned in the Bible. Look, if you would, in New Testament. Look, if you would, in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Keep your finger here. We'll come back. But look in 1 Timothy chapter 5. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, we have the qualifications of a widow indeed. Now you have to remember, now let me touch on another truth that a lot of people don't get a hold of, and this will make some people mad, but just, it's a truth. God, he set qualifications. If a woman was a widow, to be a widow indeed, she received benefits from the church. She was actually a servant of the church. She came, she lived, and the church supported her. You got to remember, at that time, they had no government support for widows. But in the same chapter, chapter 5, a widow was supposed to be taken care of by her family, if possible. And he in this verse, in number 9, it's where he says someone that would not provide for their own household is worse than an infidel. In other words, it's not, you shouldn't leave it up to everybody else to take care of your family. Follow me? Now, in doing this, then he sets forth the qualifications for a widow indeed. Notice, if you would, in verse number 9. It says, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years, having been the wife of what? Can I let you in on a secret? Not a secret, a fact. Everyone who was ever given money by the church and by the temple to serve inside the church and temple was only allowed to be married one time. Even a widow could not, if she was married more than once, she could not receive money from the church, because she was a servant of the church. The priest was a servant of the church, and the pastor was a servant of the church, and the deacon was a servant of the church. They all had the qualification, even a widow. Now, and you make out of it what you want. I didn't write it. I just serve it. But look on. Well reported in verse number 10, well reported for good works. In other words, she couldn't be lazy. She couldn't be non-active. She had to be someone who had a history of good works and a testimony. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she has what? Washed the saints' feet. If she have relieved the afflicted, and if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will what? So he sets forth a widow indeed. And in a couple places in the Bible, it refers to a widow indeed. Now, going back to John a moment, let's go back in and let me show you a couple things I want to bring out tonight. So what Jesus is doing, and by the way, let me give you a little history. I read somewhere, and they had a good illustration. I thought it was good. Benjamin Franklin, when they wrote the Constitution of the United States, He was out giving speeches on the Constitution. And as he was giving, he had some guy in the crowd heckling him. And he says, where is the happiness that you promise? And words are cheap or something like that. Said, where is the happiness that you promise? And he told him, I wrote down here, if I can read my writing, I wrote it quick. He said, my friend, he said, the Constitution only guarantees the American people the right to pursue happiness. You have to catch it for yourself. Now, if you look in verse number 17, everybody that's a Christian is not a happy Christian. You're not happy, you're not pleased with, or you're not happy where you have the joy that God wants you to. Every American has the right to pursue happiness, but you have to catch it for yourself.
Amen.
Every Christian has the ability to have joy, but you have to pursue it for yourself.
Amen.
And so therefore, you can't do the things contrary. If you notice in verse 17, Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are ye if what? If you do them. Is he talking about washing each other's feet? Now you have to remember, and give you a little history about washing feet during this time. Washing feet was considered one of the lowest and was used for one of the lowest levels of servants. As a matter of fact, slaves were used to wash the feet. And they were used to wash the feet because they walked around. I seen Nancy the other day somewhere, and she told me, she said, I had a pair of sandals on. She said, preachers don't wear sandals. I said, Nancy, what do you think Jesus wore? But the fact of the matter is, the reason why they had to wash their feet, because they walked around on dirt in sandals. Now, we don't do that. And so, therefore, we don't have the need, when you come to my house, you don't have the need for me to wash your feet. That's the custom that was there, but only the lowest ranking. Gentile slaves, they hated the fact that they were made to wash feet because they thought it was beneath them to wash feet when they were taken captivity and they were brought in because only the lowest levels of slaves were made to wash feet. Then, of course, the Jewish slaves, they did not make them wash feet. And so here, you've got to keep that concept in here. So Jesus, the Bible says, that here they are, they're gathered together, and he wants to teach his disciples some lessons. They're gathered here, they're eating, and they finish eating supper, and the Bible says now the devil has come into Judas to do something, to betray him. And so in verse number 4, Jesus rise up from the supper. Now this is not the Lord's Supper. This is the Passover supper, where they would take the Passover and celebrate it and eat the lamb and all the things that Exodus chapter 12 tells them to do. Jesus had told them, go make it ready and find this room and the upper room and all that. And the Bible says, and he laid aside his garments and he took a towel and he girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. So now just imagine and picture this in your mind. What Jesus is doing, the Son of God, he left glory where everything in heaven worshiped him and praised him and glorified him. And he left there, and he come down, and he has his disciples, and they don't have a clue what he's doing. And here they got through eating the Passover supper, and he gets up, and he pours water in a basin, and he throws a towel across them, and he goes out, and he begins to wash their feet. The Son of God stooping himself to such a level. Now, notice if you would, and keep in your mind, He says, happy are ye if you do these things. Let's look and see what things he's talking about. Look on, if you would, and notice a couple places. Let me take a couple places. Notice, if you would, in Philippians chapter 2. Keep your finger there in John, but turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, we are reminded that when Jesus came, he came and he made himself a servant. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 5. Philippians chapter 2 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Now when he bowed down and he began to wash those feet, he took all the reputation away from himself. He went and he was doing the lowest work there was to do for his disciples as they stood before him. Look on. Read on. It says, and made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. And of course, we find that's why God so highly has exalted Jesus, because he humbled himself to do that. Look on, if you would, in Mark chapter number 10. Keep your finger again in John chapter 13. We're coming back. Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10, notice, if you would, in verse number 45. Now, notice that the Bible says in verse 45, he says, for even the Son of Man came not to minister unto, but to what? Minister and give his life for many. Now, look again, if you would. And why in the world would these disciples, why would they need a lesson in humility? Now, the Bible says he loved his own and he loved them to the end. Why in the world would they need this lesson of humility? And here was the very Son of God, the one that was their master and Lord, and he said it in this scripture. He said, you call me master and Lord, and thou doest well. That's what I am. I'm your master and Lord. And why in the world would he want to teach them a lesson of humility? Look on, if you would, in Luke chapter number 22. Turning to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, keep your finger in John. I should have had you stayed in Mark too, but we'll go back there in just a minute. Luke chapter 22, look if you would in verse 24. And Bible says, and there was also a strife among them, the disciples, that's who he's talking about, which of them should be accounted the what? You think maybe they needed to be humble? You think maybe they needed a lesson in humility? Can I tell you something? If you want to be happy serving God, you have to have humility.
Amen.
The Bible says God gives grace to the humble. And when we're not humble, then we do not receive the grace that we need. Look back, if you would. I'm sorry, I should have had you stay there in Mark chapter 10. I forgot that I wrote this little verse down there. But I want you to see this. In Mark chapter 10, I wanted to read the verses right before the one I read. Look back, if you would, in verse number 42. It said, but Jesus called them to him and said unto them, he said, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your what? And whosoever of you will be chiefest shall be the servant of who? Now picture this a moment. Jesus is giving them a lesson in humility. Now, you say, well, I don't mind serving some people, but picture this and get this part. Jesus went and he got down before John. Now, John was a disciple that loved him, and he loved John. He began to wash John's feet. I don't imagine it was very hard for Jesus to wash John's feet because he loved John so much. But then he's going to have to wash Peter's feet. And now Peter was going to be a one, and he knew what Peter was going to do. He done told him what he was going to do. He said, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And so here he was sitting before Peter, and we'll get back to Peter in a minute, but here he was fixing to wash his feet, knowing that he was going to not only deny him three times, he was going to curse. You say, well, I understand that I need to serve this and over here. He loves me. I love him. I don't mind to serve. I don't mind to minister unto that one. Well, how about one that maybe doesn't love you that much? Or that one that done a little something. But now notice this. Then he's going to get in front of Thomas. Now Thomas is going to be one that's going to come later on. He's going to doubt his resurrection. He said, unless I see him, I'll not believe it. Now, he knew what Thomas was going to do, but here he was serving Thomas. But let's go a little step further. Then he comes before Judas Iscariot. This is the one that was going to betray him. This is the one that's going to sell him for 30 pieces of silver. This is the one that he knew from the beginning he was a devil, and he didn't call him to be his disciple. He called him to fulfill Scripture. Some people ask me sometimes, why in the world did he have Judas in his 12? To fulfill the Scripture. He said, I knew he was a devil from the beginning. And every time he said, I've called 12, but one of you shall betray me. And even here in a few moments, he said, whoever dips in sop, that's the one. And Judas did it, and he got up and went out. And he went out and he sold and he betrayed him. But now knows this. You said, boy, I can be happy serving those people that loves me and I love. Well, I can be happy with some people that's going to be disobedient occasionally. But how about those that betrays you? How about serving those that you have to forgive? How about serving those that have done you great injustice? How about some of those that, how about serving those that have done out here and done a terrible wrong? Who's going to serve them? You say, well, I want to pick and choose who I serve. That's the lesson that Jesus was getting across the disciples. You want to be happy? You serve everybody. You be the servant of everybody. And you think, well, and I'm going to tell you, you know what destroys the spirit of most churches? Now listen to me very carefully. You know why most churches, the spirit is destroyed in churches? Because you have people in your church, whether it be pastor, whether it be deacons, whether it be members, whether it be a woman. I've known some women, I've known some men, I've known some families, and they think that they are more important than everybody else in the church. And I'll tell you what, their opinion is, if you don't like it, you go. They're going to have it their way, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, they're going to do it their way because that's the way their family's always been there and that's their church. I've been told that a time or two. But can I tell you something? The same thing I told them? I said, it's obvious you don't have a servant's heart. You don't know how to serve. You say, I want to be important. Now, Brother Junior here works as a treasurer. Brother Greg back there does as well. Brother Jim works as secretary. Brother Rick back there, deacon, but I'm going to tell all those men. And Brother Porter, he's probably been here the longest of any men that's here that I see, that I think of, probably, aren't you, right here? But let me tell all five of these men something. You're not any more greater in this church than anybody else in this church. You understand? And if you want to serve this church, you become servant of the church. You humble yourself. And you show humility. What Jesus was doing, he said it over in verse 15. I'm setting an example for you. He wasn't setting an ordinance for them. He was setting an example for them. He took the lowest job there would be in their midst, and he was doing it to his disciples. And so therefore, he said, you don't understand just yet what I'm doing. But what he was doing was, he was doing it for them. Now, and let me say this, while I'm here, just throw it in. I mentioned that thing that they're having on the 5th up there, on the judicial center. And somebody said, well, What are we going to do? How are we going to do? What are we going to do? But I'll say this. Number one, I would tell you this, to pray about it. Number two, sometimes when people want to do something, sometimes they make matters worse. I've seen some that in the name of being a Christian, they show themselves so ugly that they take anything away from anything that they would gain. And even though they might be right about what they're standing against, the way in which they do it tears everything, all the testimony down. But I can definitely tell you this, you shouldn't participate in it and shouldn't be a part of it. Because the Bible says you become a partaker of their evil deeds. And you need to realize that. Now, let's go on. Let me get back to my subject. So here was Jesus teaching them a lesson in humility. And man, what a lesson it was, because here he was. I mean, I can get serving some of them, but Brother Jim, can you imagine him knowing who Jesus was and Judas was, and Judas sitting there with his feet and letting him wash his feet? But you know, Judas didn't have any problem with it. Now Peter, he was always outspoken. He said, what are you doing? You're not going to wash my feet. You'll never wash my feet. You see, he understood the amount of or the position of that job of washing feet, and he was not going to let the Lord stoop that low to wash his feet. He wasn't going to let him wash his feet. No way in the world would he ever wash his feet. And Peter made it plain to Jesus. And now let's look back at Jesus' comment in verse number 6. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter saith unto him, thou shalt what? Never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast what? Now Peter didn't get what he was saying. Then Jesus goes on, and he says this, Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my what? Hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Now, what he was saying was, there's one of you that's not clean. Not all of you clean. But he said, and he told Peter, he said, now, you can't be a part of me unless I've washed you. And of course, we know he was talking about washing of salvation, washing of regeneration, washing us with his blood, taking us and washing us of sin. Now get this a minute, and I'll show you why I said that in a minute. Now, when they would come into somebody's house back then, they would wash their feet. Well, why didn't they wash their ears and their face? Well, the reason why is because they were supposed to take a bath or clean. They were supposed to be clean before they started traveling, and the only thing they really got dirty was their feet. But now get this. When Jesus saved you, he took your sins and moved it as far as the east is from the west. The Bible says, if you look in 1 John, as a matter of fact, keep your finger there in John and go to 1 John just a moment, chapter 1. First John chapter 1. And while you're there, keep your finger there, and let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 1 just while we're there. You got a few fingers, use them. Chapter 1, look in verse 18 of 1 Peter. The Bible says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." My folks, folks, what's made you clean is this. Somebody said, "I'm going to go and be washed in the baptismal pool." Nope. It wasn't the baptismal pool that washed you. It was the blood of Jesus. That's what washed you. Now notice, if you would, in 1 John chapter 1. Notice, begin reading with me, if you would, in verse number 7. "But if we walk in the light," as preached on the light this morning, didn't we? "But if you walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from what? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanses all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Now get this a minute. What Jesus was getting across to Peter was this. Peter said, you gonna wash my feet? Lord said, "Yeah, you don't understand what I'm doing, but you'll understand it later." Peter said, "You'll never wash my feet." He said, "Well, you can't be with me unless you've been washed." He said, "Wash my head and my hands." And Jesus said, "No, you're clean every whit." That means you're clean everywhere else but your feet. And he said, "Now, I'm going to wash your feet." Now, why did he wash his feet? Because when he was walking, it wasn't his whole body got dirty, it was his feet got dirty. And look here, when we get saved, we are clean. We are forever, eternally saved. Our sins have been forgiven. But what happens is, in 1 John chapter 1, what happens is, as we walk in this world, we get dirty. And we have to stop and confess our sins and get it cleaned up and clean ourselves of the unrighteous. And what happens is, if we don't let the Lord clean our feet, we lose fellowship with the Lord. And therefore, we can't have fellowship. We don't lose our relationship. We lose our fellowship. And so, therefore, Jesus was teaching Peter that he was to be washed, and he was to have his feet washed by him because of his walk that he had. And every one of us needs to have our feet cleaned by this old, dirty, nasty world that we walk in. It contaminates all of us, okay? Everybody got that so far? Now, so therefore what we have to do, and if you notice back in your Bible, in John chapter 13, going back there real quickly, he says in verse number 10, Jesus saith unto him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit." Now that every whit means that he's completely clean. And so it says, "And ye are clean, but not all." In other words, there was one of them that had never been clean. And so Therefore, he told them in verse 13, 14, that he being the master and Lord, that he washed their feet, and that they ought to wash one another's feet. In other words, they ought to serve. He said, for I've given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. And then he talks about the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. And he said, now if you do these things, and by the way, you have to have confidence. Can I go back and touch on this real quick before I close this message? You have to have confidence of your eternal security, of your salvation, if you're going to ever serve God and be a servant of God. We have his promises that he promised us, that no one ever would ever pluck us out of his hand. He's never lost one. He's not going to lose one. Then he also gives us, tells us in Peter, that we are kept by his power. Not by our power, but by his. In John chapter 17, he told the church that he would be praying for us. Not only for those that his disciples, but those that would believe later on. He's praying for us. And not only that, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7 talking about being our high priest. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And then also we have his person. He, through the Holy Ghost of God, dwells in us, and Christ is in us. That secures us eternally, okay? And so we don't have to go be saved over and over and over and over and over again. You get saved once. And from that point on, then you just have to wash your feet. Because your feet is what gets dirty. It's not your spirit, because God has saved you, and therefore you are clean every whit. You're completely clean, except for what you just pick up on this old world. And it's unrighteousness that you've got to have washed, and you do that by confessing and asking for forgiveness. And the Bible says he does that for us. Now, and so therefore we need to understand that he does it. Look back. And in those verse 17, I'm closing right here. He says, if ye know these things, what? If you do them. So, as American, the Constitution doesn't promise you you're going to be happy. It just promises you the opportunity to pursue happiness. And as a Christian, the Bible doesn't promise you that you're going to be happy. It just promises you that if you pursue it, you can be happy if you do the things that he's told you to do. And the only way you'll ever be happy being a Christian is learning to humble yourself to serve other people. And understanding not putting yourself above other people. And understanding that you need to wash sometimes too. As well as I and others. You never forget. And never exalt yourself above. I've seen some that had such self-righteousness, they thought they were never, they looked down their noses and everybody else was beneath them. My friend, let me let you in on a little secret, and then we're going to have Brother Porter sing. Everybody who is saved is a sinner saved by the grace of God.
Amen. Amen.
Let's sing, Brother Porter. Amen.